part three. We come back, and I'm so happy that you're back with us to see Letitia and Lenora's stories unfold. And again, these endearing twin sisters who have suffered a loss, but experienced some beautiful parts of their life that spun into great friendships. And then we learn about how they continue to support some people that really care and love in a difficult time. So I'm grateful that you're here, family, again, for another season of Documenting Dreams. It's season two. And we're gonna begin and end with some beautiful, bold, Black and brown sisters. And I'm so glad that we're back. Now you understand it. Walk in your gift. Now just go ahead and walk in it. You got it. And it was the moment when I said, okay, just keep walking. Just keep walking. And that literally happened this year. But there was this moment where it was like, no, just do it.
Well, good.
Yeah.
At the perfect time.
At the perfect time. It started, the walk became more intentional when I started this podcast. This is officially season two. Today, we are really going to jump into the power of voice. You know, I think about friends. Jerry and I were blessed and fortunate enough to have lots of friends either evolving in the same way, like moving towards marriage, dating a long time. We had friends that were already married, and we hung out with them as they were married and we were dating, and we picked up things along the way from all of them. And then there were some weddings we went to, you know, while we were getting serious and he was thinking about it, and you know, just all these things happening. And then you got to a point where you started hearing the big D word from couples we least expected, right? Yeah. And the ones we learned from. And to your point of choosing, one of those situations, and it ended up happening again later with another couple, we handled it in such a way that we were able to be friends with both the husband and the wife. And I don't know what we did. I'm only bringing this up to say, I don't know what we did, but we were able to maintain respect from both of those individuals. And it happened again, and we were able to do the same thing again. And so I just say that to say that I think subconsciously, he and I decided, again, to the point of being able to show up in your authentic self and people letting you be yourself and not worry about reciprocating. He and I decided individually that we'll let it choose itself. We didn't. When this person calls, we're going to pick up. When this person calls, we're going to pick up. And hey, you good? You can talk about it if you don't want to talk about it. If you do want to talk about it, I'm here for you, making an advised decision. And this is not me giving you advice. This is just me talking about just how life is, right? Yeah. Like, it was just one of those things. Whatever we did however we presented ourselves, those friendships chose, they fell the way they should fall. Mm. And I think, and maybe this is kind of advice, like, we can stress about it because at the end of the day too, they had to figure out those lives and how they were gonna live and coexist. And if you can imagine, if we're talking about marriage, it was an array of things that caused, you know, the demise, or however you wanna describe it, you know, the mm-hmm. decline in love or, you know, friendship. And that was the ultimate choice. But I think the friends, and the sisterhood and the people that you are in that scenario, it will be played out the way it's supposed to, as long as you keep showing up the way you always show up.
Mm, that's good.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think it'll work the way it's supposed to work. The chips will fall the way they're supposed to fall as it relates to you. What happens around you, you can't control, right? But if you keep being the same friend as you're being, it'll be fine.
That's good.
Wholeheartedly agree.
I didn't intend for that to be that moment, but I just resonated with me, you know, because just to be frank with you, that time, the couple that we were spending so much time with, who honestly taught me and Jerry how to be friends in building this love in our relationship, they taught us that. So it was a gut punch. Yeah. To hear, you know, they were going to be the godparents.
Yeah.
Hands down. Like, everybody knew, you know. But we also were our own relationship. You know what I'm saying? So we, you know, we're like, okay, we figured out what we needed to figure out. We got to grow in our own manner. And we took away the good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much good. And that good still resonates in our marriage today. It'll be 17 years in August. And that good still resonates in our marriage today from both of those relationships that, well, it was actually three. But they'll fall where they're supposed to fall.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, absolutely.
When I said earlier that I kind of feel like I can be mean sometimes, mm-hmm. I was thinking about that situation mm-hmm. because we have very differences of opinions here. Mm-hmm. And there just shows like our personalities, how different we are, because, you know, I'm a part of the friend group too. Mm-hmm. And we have been friends since like diapers, legit, mm-hmm. you know? So but I'm in the mind frame of, or, and I guess in the time, like I'm okay mm-hmm. if this is where it ends, mm-hmm. I am okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Well, one, you know, because we have that type of friendship where it's like, you know, we live in different states. Mm-hmm. We don't talk often, but when we talk, we see each other. Mm-hmm. It is that, which is a beautiful thing. And I value that as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are the best relationships that you can have mm-hmm. when you can just pick up like no time has gone. Mm-hmm. However, I still feel like, I still feel like having the relation, we can still have these relationships and you all have this divide. It's okay for you all not to talk, mm-hmm. but it's okay for me to still communicate and say hello every blue moon, just the way that we do. So, and for those reasons, we're different in this. We're very different in this. Still don't want that love to be lost because it's important. Like we go way, way, way back, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it sucks. But she's feeling it a little more than I am.
Yeah.
Because I plan, just like you say, like you literally just said, to show up as it always been mm-hmm. because nothing should change mm-hmm. between us.
Right.
Because we weren't there. We weren't involved. So mm-hmm. nothing should change.
Right.
And so I plan to show up like I always do. She's an empath. She cares so much.
I am her. I am she. I am guilty. I am the people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy. Like I lost, you know, one of my best friends after college. Well, in college. We're in college together. And when I tell you that thing hurt,
mm-hmm.
oh, it hurt so bad. And I was literally having this conversation yesterday, and one of the things that gave me a little bit of solace, since we had fallen out, or however you want to, I won't even say we fell out. It was one of those things where we just kind of stopped talking or interacting the same, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing that was gave me solace as I got older, because it still hurt, even after my mom passed away. No, we've been friends since sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like, dang, like, it just, you know, and the way I knew it still hurt was the way I would talk about it, right? But I'm going to tell you where I find solace, you know, and you talk about being an empath or just knowing and understanding where things come from. When I started to think back over all the times in our friendship where things were kind of funky, I was like, Janelle, it was happening all the time.
Mm.
Right? There were scenarios where this dissolvement was starting from a long time ago, right? It started in high school, whatever this point was. When I just started thinking about it, I was like, dang. And now I get it. You know what I mean? I started understanding better when it started happening, the type of personality that this person had, the type of personality that I had, the type of needs that she had, the type of needs I didn't have, and the ways I carried it out. And when I got that understanding, I felt much better about the loss.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, and people like, you know, you can't look back, but looking back helps you understand how you press forward and how you move forward. And I, and for me personally, it helped me understand, okay, this is why it wasn't that way. And then we ended up having a conversation years later, as one of our mutual friends said, one day you're gonna pick up the phone, it's gonna be like time never passed. And she never said a more truer statement in her life. And I didn't know when, where, whatever, it was random. We had the best conversation and some things came to light that I knew were true that I just needed to hear. But I was in a good space already. So it wasn't like, oh, gotcha. It was like,
banging.
I knew it.
Yeah.
And you know, it was not even just nice to hear, it was just nice to have a moment together. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's why I say just keep showing up the same. And if you are consistent, everything else, nobody can deny you that. You know what I mean? And then the other people, they gotta work that stuff out, because when you're feelers, it's so easy to try to want and a fixer to fix it for people. But I also started being like, I got a whole husband and three kids and bills stacking up. And I got some things I'm trying to do.
And I don't have time for this. Taking up brain space.
Like, I can't make space and time for that. Like, I'll be here though. I'm down, because loyalty is one thing you got to worry about.
Right.
But it's funny. So, you know, we, at the beginning, we talked about the show and siblings and, you know what I mean? It's not being a twin or whatever thing. And we've gotten to this space, and every time I do a show, it takes an interesting direction. And I think, you know, when I think about things and how we go forward, you know, to me, even though we're talking about being family and sisters and just siblinghood itself, you know, a theme for this show is just, you know, true friendship. What does it mean to be, you know, that friend? And I hope that, you know, as I call them, the dreamers, my listeners, that's something that they can take from, you know, hearing this, the how you value and carry yourself in a friendship, you know, will play out the way it's intended to.
Yeah. Relationships are so, so, so important. It's just, they're just so important. And I love building relationships. Mm-hmm. And there are literally, I would say 5, maybe 6 relationships that I have, that I nurture, that if they were to fall off, I would be hurt.
Yes.
I did have to go through that a little bit in college, and it was hard a little bit, mm-hmm. but I think I was, and I don't know, I think I learned that, you know, if you're not for me, then you're not for me, then mm-hmm. I'm okay. I'm going to move on. Mm-hmm. And, but relationships are so important, and those communities are just, gosh, they're so important, because it helps you to grow as a person, mm-hmm. having that circle, mm-hmm. having those people. And I feel so just grateful about the varying communities that I have. Mm-hmm. And even now, like, I'm on the board of a nonprofit, and my church community, like, I might go to some other churches, because, you know, that's where, you know, I'm trying to find some good babysitters. That's where I find my babysitters at church. Go to church.
Church. You can go, listen, family, you go to church, find a babysitter, not a man. Anybody heard that?
They are not. The babysitters is what you're looking for when you go to church, okay? But,
seriously,
but all jokes aside, I absolutely love my church family, yeah. because when I was pregnant, separated, they were the ones who were bringing me, you know, my small group making, and the pastor's wife making a list of people to bring me food, because they knew that I had an infant and a toddler in the house, and they knew that I was there by myself. They were the people that just kind of like, just walked with me. How are you doing? Whenever you come in the building, it was like, I can't describe, it's just amazing. You're like, this is home family. Mm. And so those were the people who were just lifting me up, mm-hmm. you know, and making me feel at home. And so just, so like outside of friends, because, you know, we have our friends, mm-hmm. but you know, those friends may not be in your immediate community.
So
to me, you need to have friends. Yeah, like you have those people that you cry on, you cry with, mm-hmm. you experience life with, mm-hmm. but you have a community also mm-hmm. that you experience life with. And I have multiple communities. I have a mom community. I love my mom friends. One of them is a new friend. I'm like, no, we're besties. Like, you can't get rid of me at all.
We still chat.
But I have my mom friends, and then I have my church family, and then with this nonprofit, like, you know, there's another group of moms and women that we're building friendship, and I'm in this whole space like, oh my gosh, this, I've been waiting for this since I had kids, Janelle. Like, having moms that you're friends with the moms, and the kids are friends, mm-hmm. you're friends with their moms, mm-hmm. and then you all do stuff together. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in that space, and I'm so excited. My yeah. kids have friends, and I'm friends with their moms too.
Yeah,
I love this space.
That's usually what happens. Those usually where that different community starts. You're like, okay, so your baby, oh, Jordan talks about such and such all the time. Okay, we should get the girls together, you know, all of that. And it's funny, I'm thinking back to the, we can laugh now, but you know, I was a picky parent.
Yeah.
Because you babysat Jordan, and I was a picky parent. But I will tell you how life is so funny, and it came full circle. Because you mm-hmm. said I was a picky parent, and you said Marshall's a picky parent. Mm-hmm. And I remember, who's the oldest baby?
I am.
No, you're out of your children.
James
is born. Mm-hmm. And you made a statement to me about being picky. I said,
he is.
No, you being picky about how you parented.
I'm like, me? Yeah. I think with those firstborns, though, we want to do things a certain way.
You want to do it right. You know, if you are, I'm not even going to say doing it right, because who knows what's doing it right. But if you are loving and if you are intentionally trying to do right by your child, people are going to say things like that. You're picky, or you're going to feel like, you know what I mean? Am I doing too much? Or you do too much, because who knows how to do it?
Yeah.
Who knows how to do it? You never stop being a parent. Let's start there. Ever. And I remember, it's funny, I was pregnant with JT, who's the youngest. And I said, I remember the days were getting close to me for me to have him. And I called my mom because I got nervous just driving down the street. I was like, you never stop being a parent. Like, it just hit me. And I called my mom. I was like, how did you know how to love all three of us? Like, help me. Like, I was like, did you know? And I'm telling her, like, she don't have three grown children of her own. Did you know you never stop being a parent? I was like, mm-hmm. Hence, you're calling me now.
Yeah. This never ends.
Right.
I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I'm calling you, asking you for advice about how I'm supposed to love all three of these kids.
Yeah.
You know, and she was such a powerful force. And I was like, Mom, like, for real, tell me, like, how did you do it? You know what I mean? How did you know how to love us all the way we needed to be loved? And my mom was very simplistic. You know what I mean? It didn't take a lot for her to show her love, or for her to feel love, or for you to just, she didn't care for pomp and circumstance. She's just like, you here. You know what I mean? I do want something nice every now and then, but not anything like that. But she said, I just paid attention. I paid attention to each one of y'all, whatever y'all liked. And the best thing, y'all, was when we would come home from college, or we all be home for whatever reason. Like, I was home my sister senior year in high school, and my brother would come visit, and she would cook everybody's individual favorite thing.
Aww.
Like, it would show up on the table. You're like, oh man, I love peas and corn. She's like, I know, here you go. My sister didn't like, you know, meat and different stuff like that. She's like, oh man, Mommy, thank you so much for the spaghetti. Ooh, and you didn't put meat in it. She's like, I know, here you go. Like, it just, you know, it was just hit the table. You know, my brother liked pound cake, he didn't like icing. He's like, oh man, I'm glad you made the cake without icing. She's like, I know. You know, boom. She's like, I know what my baby's like.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Like, it was just, you know, the best thing, and the best advice, you know. And that was something that, honestly, in that scary moment, you have two kids or you have one child, and you feel like, oh, I kind of know how to do this thing. But here I am with baby three, and I knew I was done. Or so I thought. And I'm like, what's gonna happen? But I, you know, I had my son maybe a month or two after that, and I was able to push forward with a little more confidence, because I'm like, okay, that's in my toolbox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, with that being said, who dropped some tools in your box? What were some of the tools your mom or your dad, in the moments that you remember, or maybe your sisters could share, what were some of the tools they gave y'all?
My mom was not like an overbearing mom. Mm. She was very, I mean, she fussed at us. She treated, it's funny, she joked that she treated her students like they're her own kids. So she gonna fuss at her students just like she fusses at home. But I feel like one of the things that my mom did, she showed us love in the varying ways, that whether she was just talking nicely to us or, you know, having a conversation with us, supporting us in things that we wanted to do. Mm. So, you know, and then just kind of allowing us to kind of spread our wings. I think that's the biggest thing. She allowed us space to develop into who we were. She didn't tell us who we were. She allowed us to kind of figure that out. She wasn't overbearing. And I think that that's one of the biggest tools that I have, that I try my best to be mindful of. Mm-hmm. I have a 16-year-old, now 16-year-old stepson. I've been in his space since he was like 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that he's older and, you know, really trying to flex the muscles and stuff, and I'm like, okay, we gotta let him explore. Mm. And I'm like, don't you want to go to the mall and hang out with your friends? Like, what do you want to do? Let's go do something. I don't have to take, you know, you have to go with me, but don't you want to do things? And my husband's like, stop, he doesn't need to do. And I'm like, no, he should go and explore, you know, within reason. So I feel like my mom taught me that. I feel like I have just different extended aunts and uncles that were either like church aunts and uncles that have just showed me, you know, grace. And I think that what's really popping in my mind is my husband. I watched him father his son when he was young, and he was so patient, and he talks to him. Yes, that doesn't happen now in his many, almost trying to be an adult age, but when he was in preschool, elementary school, he sat down and had conversations with him, and he talked to him about his feelings, and they were like best friends and two peas in a pod and all of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I think my initial thought when I was watching my husband respond in a loving, caring positioning about something, that my initial thought was like fussing. So once I had my daughter, I feel like that was the biggest tool that I took from him. Talk to your kids, you know? You don't have to just jump off the handle and respond to why that they're, whatever they did that frustrated you. Talking to them. And so those are the biggest two tools, that allowing them to spread their wings, kind of feel their way through things, and kind of being like a supporting cast in the back. And then also like the way you communicate to your child. Those are the biggest things that I've taken.
Two very powerful tools. I love that.
Yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of people have taught me different things about parenting and raising the kids. I feel like the kids teach me a lot too, because they are very different, and they have, you know, as they grow into their personalities, you know, they're very vocal about how they feel. And I think I've always told them it's okay to feel. So of course they'll repeat the things that I've said to them. I'm feeling my feelings.
That's good. I love that. For some black boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because I would tell them it's okay to feel your feelings. It's okay to feel that way. Mm-hmm. But what are we doing next? Mm-hmm. But he, you know, Josiah, you know, I'm feeling my feelings right now. And okay. But, you know, I feel like I learned a lot from them, you know, because I'm blessed. I feel so grateful and blessed. And like Leticia said, you know, you want to make sure you're pouring into others mm-hmm. as much as I've received, because I feel like I've received so much just wisdom and just support, mm-hmm. like tangible support as well as spiritual support or emotional support. And so that, you know, I've gotten a lot, you know, just it's okay to do things your way. You know, you don't have to do things like others. And I believe in that, and not trying to compare yourself to others, mm-hmm. even though, because our kids are close, I silently be, you know, not comparing, but making little competitions between me and Marshelle. She don't know that between our kids, because they're the same age, but I'd be looking at, oh, Daniel's doing this, so we need to be doing this.
I think we all do that to some
degree. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's coming from a trusted place, right? You like, yes. Well, my brother's good.
But you can do it right. Yeah.
Josiah will be quick. Don't compare me to others. Don't compare me. But they teach me a lot. Like, they teach me patience, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. They're teaching me how to communicate with them. Mm-hmm. And I have to listen and be patient enough or open enough to listen to, you know, their temperament, paying mm-hmm. attention to what they do, what they like, your mom, like what they like.
Yeah.
Because that helps to build that relationship. When we had, you know, we've gone through some little tough points, and one little tough point where, you know, I brought them home from their dads and they weren't happy with me because it was an early pickup. Mm. And, you know, my former pastor's wife, Miss Elaine, I loved her. She said, you know, she gave me some really good advice. It's just, don't worry about, like, you want to talk, but allow them to talk, because mm-hmm. they will communicate. Mm-hmm. But you need to just build that. Let's go back to the basics and build those relationships, mm-hmm. you know, and make sure your relationships are strong, and just play together. Mm-hmm. Sit down and just play. Mm-hmm. And from then is when I implemented going back to, we do movie nights on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And as they've gotten older, they look forward to it. Yeah. James, not so much, because he wants to play video games. He watches a movie and goes right upstairs. Josiah's like, oh, we sleeping downstairs tonight? How many movies watching tonight? He'll hang with me. But just doing those things that helps them, one, to build that relationship so they know that you're a safe space and that yeah. they do feel comfortable talking to you about anything. Mm-hmm. And then just being able to just have conversation. And you can do that, you know, when you're playing together. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Playing yeah. a game together. And so I re-implemented that a few years ago. And we've kind of fallen off. We still kind of do movie nights, and I don't mm-hmm. complain if we don't, because I'm like, I kind of want to go to sleep.
So. Right, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah.
And give me the blanket and don't give me that certain corner of the couch.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
movie night in my bed. I'm going to my bed. But I also learned a lot from them
yeah.
as well. They teach me a lot, and also a lot about myself. They'll also point out, you know, little faults. So you got to, they yeah. check me. I don't, like, sometimes I'm like, maybe I need to have a girl in my house.
That's the mirror. The boys might say it, but that's the mirror.
These boys, man, they don't give me a break, okay? But it keeps me on my toes, and it helps me to just be conscious when I'm talking to them, because I'm a lot like my mom. I'm quick to respond and bicker. Why you doing this? That's how I am in the house. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I am Eleanor. Eleanor.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
So we are coming, bringing it to the conclusion. And this is probably my favorite part of the show, because it's called Finish These Statements. So we can do it one of two ways. I can go each person. Or I can say it and then whoever comes out first, whoever comes up with it first can go.
Yeah, okay, let's preference. Do that.
Okay, I love it. That's what I wanted to do anyway. All right, so finish these statements. I am
proud.
Oh, creative.
My favorite song is
Never Say Never by Brandy. First thing that popped in my head.
First thing popped in my head is Green Eyes by Erykah Badu.
My why is
me.
That's good. My why is me too.
People think I am, but I am really.
People think that I am confident, but I'm more likely to have, you know, less confidence than what I pushed out.
Okay.
People think that I am people think that I am I would say, well, kind of like Leticia's, I was going to say brave.
I tried to say that, but I wanted to make sure it sounded right. Go ahead.
People think that I am brave. But sometimes I work in fear a lot.
But that's a good thing because you do things scared. We do things scared.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
And that means you care. Yeah. I tell Jordan that all the time. It's like, I'm really nervous. I'm like, I tell you, nervous is good. That means
it's okay to be
humble.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
As long as you don't let that stop you.
Exactly. You keep going. Like you said, do it scared. Okay. I get really nervous when
I sing.
I get really nervous when I have to approach someone.
Okay. When I hear blank, I'm running to the dance floor.
What's his name? Miami.
Plies.
Plies too, but back that thing up.
Juvenile.
When I hear Beyonce, I'm running to the dance floor.
Okay. I know all the lines too.
I'm not scared by Lions and Tigers and Bears by Jack Sullivan.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know all the lines to Cinderella's songs and Rodgers and Hammerstein's.
That's a good one. Me too. all the lines to every Cinderella. Song.
Hilarious. All right, okay. Last one. Can't stop, won't stop. What?
Is that the end of the song? Or?
Do we add to that?
You just finished the statement. Everybody gets stuck on that one. Like, just say what
okay.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop dreaming.
Come through dream.
Can't stop, won't stop encouraging and pushing moms to be themselves.
Yeah.
And do more for themselves.
And we will end on that. Oh my goodness. Y'all, this has been such an awesome gathering of...
I hope so.
Oh, no. I know so.
I know. I'm worried about the edits.
Don't worry about the edits. Listen, this is the season of authenticity.
Yeah.
You showed up as your most authentic self, and I hope that you felt at home and you felt like you could be yourself and say what was on your mind and just, feel comfortable answering the questions and talking about life because, that's what it's about, right? We are doing this thing called life and we need to be able to do it and have conversations about what that looks like for us individually. And so I'm just grateful that y'all were willing to share that with me today. And on season 2, episode 1 of Documenting Dreams, to my first guest of season 2, I'm eternally grateful for your sisterhood, your siblinghood, your example of what it means to carry yourself in grace when you deal with loss. I truly mean that you all were an excellent example of how to manage and push through that very difficult moment for me. And I am grateful that I met Lenora on that day in 2008. Jordan wasn't even in the world yet. And then a year later to meet Leticia, a beautiful extension of your family. And so again, thank you for being here. And is there anything you want to tell my listeners that they should be looking out for, a business you want to shout out, your boxes, Lenora, please?
Of course. Please. I'm the founder of My Box. It's a self-care subscription box for busy and on-the-go moms. So every other month is bi-monthly. You know, I deliver things to help you take care of yourselves, take time for yourselves, and it's just for you. So they're great for emotional, mental, and just personal development altogether, because we need that. And I encourage moms, just take that day off, take that trip, go on for a weekend. Just say no to the kids. It's okay. They don't have to have everything that you have. They don't. They probably don't need it. So it's okay. So yes, that's me. You can I give social
links? Please tell us how to find My Box.
At themybox.com. So it's T-H-E, like the My Box. And my is spelled M-A-I-B-O-X. So at themybox.com.
Thank you so much. And what about you, Leticia? Where are you performing next? Or what should we get to purchase from you? Please tell us.
Oh, I sing at church now. So you can find me at Baptist Grove online. I do actually have a boutique consulting agency. It's called Social Jewels Consulting. I assist small businesses, startups and small businesses with email marketing, SMS marketing. You know, we can talk business planning. You know, I'm a visionary, so I want to do this. I can map out a plan, or at least get you started on this is how you can get started in doing X. And social media. So that's what I do. I have a website. It's socialjewelsconsulting.com. Don't judge my socials. I'm busy, so I haven't. That's not there. You might find an account on Instagram, but you won't see posts. You can go to my website and you'll see plenty of information there.
Too funny. Well, I love it. I'm so grateful for both of your entrepreneurship and again being one of the loveliest guests on season 2, episode 1 of Documenting Dreams. I wish you all the best and I hope to see you all very soon. Thank you so much. Love y'all.
I love you too.
Love you back. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.